Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you tonight, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and our latest sponsor, Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. If you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired shows are up on the major podcasting sites. Just to search Scuttlebutt or SBN. And if you like to listen on Amanda Tom's Tirade, you can do that at castbox.com. And if you go ahead and subscribe, you will be able to get notifications when additional shows are uploaded. Normally, our regularly aired shows are up the following day on the podcasting site. So I had somebody say, "Wow, it's kind of cool that you have your own podcast." And I thought, well, you know, we're just doing the show.
Right.
But you can also follow us on Facebook. A lot of good information there. And you can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And we've got a packed show coming up for you tonight. So if we can't get to everything or you'd like more information on any of the topics that we cover, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Later on SBN, we'll talk with Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. He's going to discuss the problem of homeless veterans as well as exactly what you can expect the government to pay for a veteran's funeral. There's a great article that recently came out and really details all of the ins and outs of that. And so we're going to cover that with him. Also, the president has released his proposed 2020 budget. We'll tell you what to expect for our military and our veterans. And we'll also remember one of our fallen brothers. Of course, Tom's Tirade on a Tangled Web. It's a good one you don't want to miss. But first, in something of a follow-up to a topic that we've covered and questioned and talked about here at SBN, and that's the draft, and specifically women in registering for the draft. And it's a story that actually came out last week and on military.com. it didn't get a lot of play in the sort of the overall media, but there's a federal judge's decision that the law requiring men but not women to register for a U.S. military draft is unconstitutional. Now, his decision doesn't really have any immediate impact on women and the draft, but it does revive a debate for some as to whether or not the country needs a military draft, and if so, whether all 18-year-olds, regardless of gender, should be required to register. And of course, you know, they don't call it the draft anymore; it's the selective service system.
Right, selective service.
And I don't see the ads as much as I used to, but they used to run them all the time.
Oh, they used to beat us to death with that.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, when you turn 18, you need to go down. Ooh, you got to register, and if you don't, you're not eligible for this, that, and the other, and you're a really bad person.
That's the reason the Marine Corps got me.
Yeah, that's
I got that card in the mail.
Oh.
You need to report.
Oh.
Yeah, I want you.
There
boo.
You go. But, one of the things, and when we've covered this story before, and it normally comes up when you start talking. It came up a lot during the debate about women serving in forward positions in combat.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, okay, fine. If you want to let them serve wherever they want to serve in the military, in the service, then why are they excluded from the draft?
Right.
And, you know, then it got into some more philosophical arguments about the fact that, you know, what kind of a nation are we when we're willing to send our daughters through the draft? But when we have an all-volunteer military anyway,
right.
At this point. Is it something where I've had three daughters. If they want to serve, they're more than welcome to serve. I don't know that I necessarily want them
to be forced to serve.
Right.
Yet I see a lot of young ladies out now that need to go to service for a while. I think they need some of the young ladies on the street need some attitude changes.
Oh, I think that goes for both sides.
Well,
both genders.
I don't have a problem with it. Hey, most of the guys that need the attitude changes real bad, they won't let in. You know, because they don't meet the standards anymore.
Oh, well, that's very true.
You know, hell, when I went in, we was full of that. we were all castaways.
This Judge Gray Miller of the U.S. Southern District of Texas ruled that the Military Selective Service Act discriminates on the basis of gender. Said that the system's arguments. Were in defense of an archaic and overbroad generalization about women's preferences. And he said, went on to say that at its core, their argument rests on the assumption that women are significantly more combat averse than men. I don't know. I mean,
hell does that mean?
Well,
country boy, come on, give me a country boy language.
Well, women, you know, women don't want to go and grab a gun and go to the front lines.
I know. Some men do.
Well, but that's my point.
Yeah,
we have a volunteer,
right? It's
military,
all volunteer,
right,
and the ones that want to do that right now volunteer, they go.
They can,
right?
And then you have those that say, you know, why do we even need a selective? Or do we even need a draft? Because we haven't used it since 1973. Apparently, we're spending $24 million a year to maintain that system.
Now?
Yeah. Yeah, we're 20.
I thought we didn't have a system.
Well, the system that's you know, oh. When you're 18, the guys that they are having to track right now.
Okay. I was wondering why the hell we was paying that kind of money for something we didn't have.
That's
government, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right up there with the toilet seats and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, it's an interesting question, and it doesn't impose anything on the selective service system as a whole right now. And of course, the DOD, as they want to do, they have talked about the fact that. They are going to review it, and they'll probably have some committees and gold ribbon, you know, this, that, and the other. Spend a lot of money to get nothing done, which is what they tend to do in Washington. Yeah, but there's supposed to be a final report from that committee in March 2020, and then Congress will have to turn around and decide. And it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, with the socialists that we have in Congress right now, and I would say they're really more on the communist side of things, if they are so ultra-liberal that they are going to say, yeah, we need to throw women into the draft, or are they going to turn around and say, we don't need it at all? Because right, they could just as easily
either way
do that.
It could go either way.
I was going to say, speaking of going either way, we had a story about the transgender rule. We're in the break, so Tom doesn't have a chance to jump in on that. Anyway, on the other side of the break, Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. We'll talk with him when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone and check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's @Cal_SBN. And it is great to be joined by Mr. Bill Clark from the good folks at Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Bill, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt.
Well, thank you, Cal. It's good seeing everyone.
Well, it's great to have you here. I hope you had a great Mardi Gras and you obviously survived that.
I did. Glad it's over, though.
It is one of those things.
You just can't move around downtown.
Eventually, as it progresses, you've got, 14 different parades throughout the course of the day, and you might as well just stay, west of I-65.
They don't deliver the mail.
Yeah. I mean, there's no point to it. But, whenever you come, you always come with some great information. There was an article that I pulled up over the course of the last week. And it's one of those where Tom and I have covered stories where you'll have a veteran's widow, and the veteran will die, and the widow thinks that everything's going to get paid for by the VA because the veteran was honorably discharged or was getting disability or retired. And that's not the case.
That's true. We do run into that from time to time. There's still that misconception that because that veteran served his country and served it well, that their funeral will be paid for. And in a great, perfect world, that would be the case. I mean, to me, that's what they should do. But there's simply just not enough tax dollars to go around to do that. So they do put restrictions on that. The VA still pays an amount depending on the veteran, if they had a service-connected disability, if they pass away from a service-connected injury or disease.
Okay. And we'll dig down a little bit more. But let's just start from the beginning. Veteran or not, how much does it cost to be buried? The average cost of funerals.
For a full traditional service, one that we've all grown up seeing, where there's a visitation period, there's the viewing of the remains, the actual funeral ceremony, they can go in maybe in procession to the cemetery, have a graveside service there or committal service. That average is a little over 9,000 when you factor in services, casket, vault, opening and closing of the grave, sometime a marker. It can go on up to easily 10, over 10 in some cases.
So it's not cheap leaving the earth.
Well, that is true. Like so many other things in life.
And you know, the thing is, those costs have continued to increase. I know when I was back in my financial services days, I think we quoted $6,000 was the average cost. In our area, are we above average or below average in the South Alabama?
A little below. You know, I came here 2 years ago from the Jackson, Mississippi area, and things are a little higher over there than they are down here.
Okay.
So I'm pleasantly glad to report that.
Now, here's a fun fact that I found out that says, you know, if you want a fancy casket, you can pay $5,000 more. I'm sure you could pay a lot more than that. But Amazon, Costco, and Walmart sell caskets.
They do.
I mean, do you just have them delivered?
Those are basically Chinese-made caskets.
Oh, okay.
And they do deliver them by delivery truck.
So we all know how the Chinese do with the drywall. So I don't know if I want to be buried in a Chinese casket. But so anyway, when you look at those costs, what if somebody just wants to be cremated?
Well, cremation is quite a bit less. Now, like anything else, you can have extras, things such as have a space and a niche wall in a nice, such as our Serenity Rest garden, where
which
it's
is beautiful.
Yes, landscaped beautifully. It's perpetual care, but generally, $2,600-$2,700 is a good average for a direct cremation. Of course, if you want more services, such as memorial service, with cremation, you do have options. You can have a traditional service where you'd see the visitation, see the viewing of the remains in a casket. The only difference would be is rather than going to a cemetery to bury the remains, cremation would follow. And so there's varying degrees or different types of services associated with cremation.
Okay. And obviously, I know cremation is one of the services that you offer at Serenity.
Yes. We're one of the very few funeral homes in the area that have our own crematory. Many funeral homes in the area third party or outsource their cremations to other locations. Here at Serenity, your loved one never leaves our care. From the time that we take them into our care until the time the urn is given to the family, they never leave our sight.
Well, and when it comes to services for veterans, do you contact the branch of service if the family wants to have military honors, or does the family have to do that? How does that work?
When we make arrangements with families, we ask the question, was the person a veteran? And if so, we ask them, would you like for us to arrange for a military honor ceremony? And when they say yes, then we are able to obtain from the family a DD-214 or report of separation papers. And we contact that branch of service to request military honors to be performed at the given site, whether it be at a cemetery or in our funeral home if it's a case of cremation.
And when you mentioned the National Cemetery, where are you seeing most of that? Is it across the bay here or Biloxi National Cemetery? Where are you?
I just went to Biloxi National last week for a veterans service. By and large, though, in this area, we generally will go over to Spanish Fort, to the Alabama State Veterans Cemetery.
Okay. And is it a choice for the family? You know, let's say maybe the veteran lived here, but a lot of the family lives in Mississippi, so they could choose Biloxi, or is it the closest national cemetery?
It's by and large, it's the closest for our area here. However, some people have different ties to that side of the state, living on the border, so many will go over to Biloxi.
Okay. And that's something that you arrange. You'll arrange with the National Cemeteries.
We do. Again, we have to obtain that discharge papers to make sure the veteran is honorably discharged. And then we coordinate with that cemetery for a date and time.
Okay. Now here's where it gets interesting for a lot of folks. You said the average cost of a funeral can be $9,000.
$10,000, yes.
What does the VA pay?
On on an average, let's say, and I hate to use the word average, but on an average veteran that maybe served 4 years, had no disabilities, sadly, the VA doesn't pay anything. They are entitled to an American flag, and they will provide a VA marker and a presidential citation, things of that nature. But by and large, most veterans' families do not receive any monetary benefits from the VA. The only time they will pay anything is when they have a service-connected disability. They're drawing some type of a medical pension from the Veterans Administration.
Okay. Now, are they eligible? Let's say the veteran that served 4 years has an honorable discharge. Are they eligible to be buried in a national cemetery?
Absolutely. The main criteria is that that veteran was discharged with a discharge anything other than dishonorable.
Right. Okay. So if and there's more information in the stack if you really want to dig down, but there are all kinds of different permutations. I know you said the average veteran, but you know if the death occurs while somebody's hospitalized by the VA, there is an amount that's available.
That is correct. If let's say the veteran had a service-connected disability, they pass away in a VA facility, whether that be a VA-sponsored nursing home or a hospital. They will pay $780 for the burial benefits and another $780 for the plot allowance.
Okay. Do you mind, can we hold you over because we're coming up
sure,
on the break yet? Yeah, we're talking with Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Lots of great information. Again, there's more details on this in the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com, but he's given us some great information on what to expect to pay if you're a veteran in terms of your funeral. So we'll talk more with Bill on the other side of the break when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Hey, welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. And hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we certainly want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and our latest sponsor, Lifeline Counselor Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And we are glad to be joined in the scuttlebutt seat by Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Bill, prior to the break, we were talking about some of the different things that the VA will pay for a veteran. And I was noticing in the story, apparently all veterans can choose to be buried at sea from a Navy ship.
Sure. Absolutely.
But it still is. It's still not like, you know, they're just going to wrap you up and toss you overboard.
No, there's pretty strict guidelines the Department of Navy has on that. The casket has to have a certain amount of holes drilled in it because they want that casket to sink as quickly as possible. And they go out a certain depth, certain mileage out offshore before they do that. So there's really not any danger that the casket will wash ashore.
And that's something that Serenity could help facilitate?
Sure. We can make the right calls and go through the proper procedures.
Well, I figured you said if you called Captain Howell, he'd be able to get you on a ship like that. I mean,
you know, one of those new hostel
ship. There you go.
First burial off the new ship.
Get it going really fast because they can do that sharp turn.
Oh, yeah.
Just put you on the zing, right off the back, huh? Nothing is sacred on the airwaves. It does mention, of course, Social Security will pay regardless of the veteran status. It's a death benefit of $255. That hasn't really changed
changed at all in many years. There were changes made in 1980 that took effect September 1st, 1981. Prior to that, everyone that passed away that paid into Social Security got the $255. They would pay the funeral home if there wasn't a surviving spouse. They changed all that in 1981, where only a surviving spouse will receive that $255 lump sum death benefit from Social Security.
Okay, so prior to that, it went to the funeral home.
Now always went to a spouse. If there was not a surviving spouse, it went to the funeral home, which funeral homes went ahead back then and credited the family because they knew they would be receiving that $255. So they would issue that as a credit towards the funeral expenses.
Now, what if, I know this happens, you hear stories about it, but if you have a veteran that dies and there's no next of kin, and they're based, they could be a homeless veteran or just an indigent veteran. What happens in a case like that?
Well, here in Mobile County, someone in the family, perhaps a distant relative or a friend, could arrange with the county to qualify for indigent burial for that person. With an indigent burial, we work basically for the county. We have a contract with the county that we take care of the indigents that pass away here in Mobile County. There's certain guidelines the county uses. The person can't have real assets, life insurance, own property, things of that nature. And neither can some of the immediate family. So they screen it pretty well so that it screens out those that are just trying to game the system. It really is dedicated to people that just simply don't have anything.
Now, when you say immediate family, how far does that stretch? I mean,
siblings, okay. Children, mom and dad.
Okay. All right. So, if there's a distant cousin that comes in and says, I'm related to him, what can you do? Then,
Right. It would not extend out as far as cousins to do a background check about their assets to see if they qualify for county assistance.
Great. And that's something that Serenity does for our veterans.
We do, yes. Not long ago, Tom had invited y'all if y'all want to come out. We had a homeless veteran that had no family whatsoever. And I've always believed that no matter if there's no one there at the service other than the funeral directors, I want to give that veteran his or her due respect and allow for a military honor ceremony to honor that veteran. So we invited local VFW group to come out, and they performed a wonderful ceremony for this veteran. And like I said, it doesn't matter if there's not anyone there. We want to do that because it's the right thing to do and because I believe in honoring our veterans.
And of course, you have fantastic groups like the Patriot Guard that will come out to escort.
Mm-hmm.
Post 250 here, they've got a great honor guard and rifle detail as well. I know we've talked about national cemeteries, but does Serenity have any areas that are specified for veterans?
We do. We call it the Wall of Honor, and that is a section expressly for veterans and a spouse or an adult handicapped child. It's Serenity. The veteran's gray space, there's never a charge. As far as the gray space purchase. Now, state law does mandate that each lot has to have a minimum of $180 in this case here, that the Wall of Honor, that goes into a perpetual care fund. So basically $180 would take care of a veteran's grave space.
Right, and that's so that those cemeteries will be taken care of in the future.
That is correct.
Great. Well, a lot of good information there. We do have another event coming up, and I know it's something that you have mentioned on air with us, but that is the opening of the VA clinic. Mm-hmm. That is coming up next Monday.
Monday,
18th at 11 o'clock. So they're going to have a ribbon cutting ceremony there at the clinic. And Tom, I think you said they're going to, it's the 18th is when the ribbon cutting is, but they're going to start on the 22nd is when they will start taking patients at the new clinic, and they're going to stop taking patients at the current clinic.
Right, on the 21st.
So just a little bit of a note. I don't know if the VA's sent out any mailers or anything to their people, but if you are looking to go to the Mobile Clinic as of the 22nd, you'll have to go to the new one, which, it's easy to get to. It's right there on Rangeline Road out in Tillman's Corner. It looks like a beautiful, beautiful facility. So we look forward to working with the folks out there. But, Bill, you got anything else you want to cover?
Well, I just want to let everyone know that if they have any questions about what we do, have any questions about your future needs, contact us. We're always available to you. You can reach us at 251-653-4781 or visit our website, www.serenityfuneralhome.com.
And you're always available to be able to do pre-planning and counseling and help with veterans and their families.
That is correct. And it's very low pressure. We basically want to give people options, explain what we do, explain what their options are, and let them decide what's best for their families.
Absolutely.
In that regard, though, can't you also pre-pay that, like on an insurance plan or something, it's so much a month or whatever?
Absolutely, yes. We can set that up to extend those payments out for several years to make it a little easier on their budget.
And does that lock in current pricing if they do that?
It does. We're one of the very few industries that guarantees future goods and services at today's prices. So not only does it alleviate the burden off of a family of making a lot of these decisions at a time when they're just not up to it, but it just makes good financial sense. Being able to freeze to anything at today's cost for the future is going to be a huge savings for the future.
Outstanding. Well, Bill, we appreciate you being with us. Thank you for all the great information.
Well, thank you for having me. I always look forward to seeing you guys.
Sounds good. We look forward to seeing you again soon. Tom, it seems like we just got out of one budget battle up in Washington, but the president has just released his proposal for the next fiscal year.
We have a potential budget?
No, there's no chance the Congress is actually going to pass
a budget.
They're
just going to pass some paper over.
They're going to pass a continuing resolution is what they're going to do. However, the president did put into his budget, and of course, here's why it'll never go anywhere in Congress, because it's heavy on defense spending and cuts, I think, 5% from other spending in the budget.
That won't go.
No. But it does put in a 3.1% pay raise for the military as part of the overall defense spending proposal of $750 billion. Roughly 5% increase. And the thing is, the pay raise is actually in line with some of the Bureau of Labor Statistics cost index, employment cost index. So it does fall in line with some of the measures of spending out there. It would be, I think it's the largest, it would be the largest pay raise in over 10 years. This last one was 2.9.
We need it.
So anyway, there's more information there. Also, a story we're not going to be able to get to it, but on the VA budget that was proposed, which is going to continue to increase the budget for the VA, but would not expand private care funding. So it should be an interesting discussion there. On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on a tangled web. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Just what they say.
attention, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
While much of the nation's attention has been drawn to the big top circus that the Democratic leadership of the Commonwealth of Virginia has become over the last couple of weeks, the mainstream media has been less than forthcoming about a couple of other stories from the surprisingly emboldened communist wing of the Democratic Party. I understand it is great political theater to watch elected officials of the same party try to outdo the other in the race for resignations. However, you have to wonder when you will no longer be able to run or hold political office because you did nothing more than hide under the sheets on a bad day. Oh, wait, that's Robert Byrd's claim to fame. Didn't work out so well for David Duke. Uh-oh, but he was a Republican, and they tend to adhere to the whole anti-racist thing. Anyhow, first round, newly elected Democrat Representative Ilhan Omar from the great progressive bastion of Minnesota sparked back last Sunday evening from members of both parties and former first daughter Chelsea Clinton after Omar sent a series of highly anti-Semitic tweets that accused a prominent lobbying group of paying members of Congress to support Israel. Okay, so before we move on, since when is it a story that politicians are bought and paid for? Oh, it's not. The real story here is that Omar, one of the rising stars of the Communist Democrats, is no stranger to anti-Semitism. Sunday marked the latest in a long line of statements by Omar that critics have slammed as anti-Semitic. In 2012, she tweeted that, quote, "Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. Hashtag Gaza, hashtag Palestine, and hashtag Israel." She did not apologize for posting the tweet until last month, which means that her racist and bigoted comments were out there and endorsed by those that chose to vote her into office. One must wonder why she chose to remove them.
And the hits keep coming and coming.
In January, Omar argued in a Yahoo News interview that Israel could not be considered a democracy and compared it to the Islamic theocracy in Iran.
And so when I see Israel Institute law that recognizes it as a Jewish state and does not recognize the other religions that are living in it, and we still uphold it as a democracy in the Middle East, I almost chuckle because I know that if you know we see that in any other society, we would criticize it, we would call it out. We do that to Iran, we do that to any other place that sort of upholds its religion. And I see that now happening with Saudi Arabia.
And so this is where things get downright comedic, because Dems are always cast as the party of the enlightened, the brightest, the adults in the room. And yet here you are with this wet behind the ears that you can't see because of the hijab, freshman representative who is so dumb that she doesn't realize or won't admit that Israel actually recognizes five religions, including Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Wait, you mean Israel recognizes a religion that wants to destroy Israel? Yep. So you might be wondering exactly what does this have to do with SBN and our mission of promoting veterans and military? Nothing. And everything. One must wonder if this anti-Semite in our Congress should be questioned about whether she believes in the death of 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, our sacrifice to free them, and whether she believes it should never happen again. My guess is that she will never answer that question. I can only reference history. Many of you know that co-host Hollywood is active with Gulfport Little Theater, where they have been running the Diary of Anne Frank over the last 2 weeks. The story itself is powerful, but was magnified in the light of one of President Trump's guests at the State of the Union address, a Holocaust survivor who told their story about a day close to the end of the war, where the camp was in utter commotion. Many felt that this would be their last day as the Germans were preparing to kill them. Instead, the word slowly spread that it was not the Nazis, but the Americans that were approaching the camp and that liberation was at hand. It was our servicemen who fought to free them from the bonds of persecution at the hands of the Nazis. And I guarantee you that we will again fight against the anti-Semitic standard bearers of the Communist Democratic Party that have been elected and have not been censured by their leadership when needed. Next up. At this point, most of you are probably familiar with the militant arm of the snowflake movement called Antifa. Supposedly organized to combat fascism, they are probably the least tolerant of groups and have the most fun destroying Starbucks that don't get their order right. Anyway, on Monday, a 37-year-old man has a court date in connection with charges he's facing in Philadelphia that include aggravated assault and ethnic intimidation for allegedly being part of an Antifa mob in November that attacked two Marines, Alejandro Godinez and Luis Torres, both Hispanic. Okay, maybe that is not a shock, but until recently, attacker Joseph Alcoff was a well-connected, aspiring, progressive political player in Washington who may have even had a hand in key political proposals. His endorsement apparently mattered to several congressional Democrats in February of 2018. He was also pictured with now House Financial Services Committee Chairwoman Maxine Waters. The totally unhinged Democrat from California and ranking Democrat on the Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee, Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. Both committees oversee financial regulatory policies Alcoff was advocating. He even met with then Consumer Financial Protection Bureau Director Richard Cordray and other senior CFPB officials on April 2016, again in March 2017, and a third time in May 2017. So he was obviously no stranger to the upper echelon of the Obama administration. Of course, now he is being treated as if he was the city governor, lieutenant governor, or attorney general of Virginia when it comes to Democrats. They, like their failed predecessors, are the party of the useful idiot, using individuals and groups for their own power until they can be expended. Unlike the patriots who liberated Europe from the concentration camps and the Marines who were attacked because of their skin color, they are traitors to this nation and the principles upon which it was founded. Most of all, they are cowards, and that is why they hide under the sheets. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. By the way, have I mentioned I'm pissed off yet?
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Well, and that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. We hope that you'll join us again soon. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those that are in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!